like to ask that you please help me welcome our 10-minute speaker, Deborah H. from Atascadero.
So bear with me. My heart does feel like it's going to beat out of my chest. I started drinking not as young as some of you guys, but I was like 15, 16, and I thought it helped me with my anxiety, which I still struggle with, which that was a misinterpretation on my part, but I thought it worked for about 10 years. I started drinking before school so that I would be more social at school. I had a hard time in school. People were kind of mean. And so I thought the alcohol helped with that. Eventually, I actually dropped out of high school. I got an extreme DUI in Arizona. I was a wrong way freeway driver. And I was 17, but they charged me on my 18th birthday. So happy birthday to me, and it was a consequence well earned. So I did my time, and I got sentenced to AA meetings. I was not even 21 yet, so I was not open to the idea of that kind of life for myself. I wanted to keep drinking. I did my AA meetings that the court had sentenced me, and that was it for the first couple of the years. When I turned 21, things went really downhill because then I could purchase my own alcohol. I didn't have to beg my neighbors and coworkers to buy it. And then it was just, alcohol was constantly in my system, and the withdrawals and the DTs would eventually start. So I drank like that until I was about 24, and there was a day I couldn't keep any alcohol down, and it scared me. So I was like, okay, I probably need to get some help. So I self-admitted myself to rehab out of state because I knew I would run back home if I chose a rehab in state. So I did do this rehab. I signed up for the 30 days and did not want to do any more, but I think 15 days in, I thought it would be a good idea to do the 60 days. I got to day 54 and got a call about my brother, who was one of us, and that he was dying. He was 26, and although he was sober at the time, but I flew home, I had a couple hours with him, and I had to say goodbye. He was my only brother, and that was hard on me. I then began to resent AA and sobriety because I tried to do the right thing after watching my brother get sober, and it didn't work out. I know back then I used it as an excuse. Hindsight, I subconsciously just wanted to continue drinking after that. But back then I did use the poor me, my brother just died, I'm gonna keep relapsing. So I did, and I got another extreme DUI in Arizona, not a fun state to do this in. Injured my passenger in this DUI and took out the power on a street. And my passenger eventually sued me and again got my license taken away and all that fun stuff. Just gotten my interlock out a couple years prior, and now I'm gonna have to get another one. So that was fun. That DUI second one was still not enough for me to get it. So I kept drinking. I got some legal help, and they told me if I didn't enroll into another program that I would not be a success. So I enrolled myself into IOP because I didn't want to go back to rehab. I still had trauma. I got that DUI 6 months after my brother died, so I was not ready to go back to rehab yet. So the IOP did help. I of course relapsed again. It's a part of my story. And I re-enrolled into IOP after that. And that time I finally got it. I hit my bottom when I stopped shoveling. And it worked. I have had a rough time in sobriety, as everyone has, but it has worked, the program. I eventually got a sponsor, moved here, which has been great. My sponsor who walked me for the first 3 years in my sobriety, oh, by the way, my date is 1/31/2021. I guess I should have said that in the beginning, but I am really nervous. But that sponsor who walked me through the first 3 years, I have my life to thank her for. We did the steps. I believe the steps are meant to be worked over and over again. So what I couldn't talk about in my first round of steps, I talk about in working them again and again. There was a lot of trauma that I didn't want to unravel my first round of steps. Some people may call it an excuse, but I'm like, I'll work on it my next round of steps. I've had two sponsors. I have my second one right now. She's amazing. I think what I lacked in my first sponsee relationship, I'm getting with this second sponsor that I now have. I do have a hard time with the higher power thing. Still trying to work that out. I became really resentful towards my God when I lost my brother. Again, probably an excuse, but something I'm still actively working on. But I do believe recovery is something that we have to work on for the rest of our lives. I don't believe it's something that we ever think that we fully have, and if you do, then you probably don't. I try not to become complacent, because I've caught myself in complacency, and it's not good. When I think that I don't need a meeting because I just went to one, I probably should get my butt to another meeting. What works for me when I'm struggling these days is to reach out to another alcoholic, get myself out of my own head, ask them how their day is. Half the time they just need somebody to listen to. Being of service, I have a commitment. I do offer to sponsor other women. I try to be in contact with my sponsor as much as I should be, and I try to do the daily reflections and make sure that I'm practicing the steps every day, not just when stuff hits the fan and then you kind of come running back. I try not to let it get to that point. I do have a habit of letting stuff get really bad before I ever like to reach out. So that's something that I think is important for me to remember. Like when I moved from Arizona to here, I thought it was important to unpack and get a new routine and get a new job. And I almost ended up relapsing or 5150'd. It's because I forgot to wake up and remind myself that sobriety needs to be my priority and not these other things, because if I don't have my sobriety, then I don't have anything else. I have since graduated from college with a bachelor's, and I have my license back, a normal license, not a restricted license. I can drive in California. I have a job, and I have a good relationship with my parents. They are normies, so that's fun sometimes, but I'll try to explain this program to them, and my dad's like, well, I don't understand the power thing, and I'm like, never mind. Like, you don't need to. I try not to involve them too much, but I do have a good relationship with them. We had a rough go after my brother. I have a good relationship with my friends and my coworkers and people that I would never have a good relationship with. I do have, and it's because of the steps and my sponsors and these people in the program. Being able to have the resources we do is what's gotten me through the tough moments in sobriety. It's like a roller coaster. It's still life on life's terms, and I can't forget that because, like I said, I let stuff hit the fan before I like to reach out. Being of service, I would have said no to a 10-minute lead in front of five people a couple years ago, let alone this, I would not have agreed to. But somebody in my like first year of sobriety always told me to take contrary action, so I try to do that. As much as it makes me nervous, I do try to get out of my box and outside my comfort zone. I believe it's important to have our covers pulled when we need them pulled. Again, I don't want to become complacent. So doing the things that I don't always want to do, like going to a meeting or getting in front of a group of people and trying to share my experience, strength, and hope, it helps. At the end of the day, these are the things that help me. So that is all I got. Thank you.
Let's give her another round of applause.